you to open your ears to the words found in the Paul's letter to the Roman Church, chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. And it will be read this morning by Sister Wayne King. Thanks be to God. Amen. And amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we consider our text for this morning, let us consider what is a title that might offend some people in our culture. Wake up and stay woke. Wake up and stay woke. Amen. For some people, the hardest part of the day is simply waking up. I hear an amen. Especially after a good night's rest. If we're honest, most of us treasure our sleep. At night, we finish our reading, shut down our electronic devices, silence the noise, turn off the lights, and whatever else might keep us awake, and faithfully follow our bedtime routines with almost religious devotion, so that when morning comes, we can arise refreshed and ready for the day, we say. But what if after all of that preparation to get a good night's rest, and you get that rest, we wake up, open our eyes, but we're still asleep? Not because the body is tired, but we're still asleep. Not because we haven't come out of that whatever zone it is they say you supposed, delta zone or whatever it is that's supposed to make you sleep deeply, but because our spirits are still groggy to the demands of God's love. What if our eyes are open, but we remain asleep to the moral and ethical and spiritual call to love one another? What if we miss the daily opportunities God gives us to care for one another and to serve one another and to show mercy, because hatred and revenge and injustice and selfishness and indifference have lulled us into a spiritual drowsiness? Perhaps that's why Paul calls us not only to wake up, but to stay woke. Alert to love, awake to mercy, and responsive to the claim that God has placed upon our lives, so that the continual debt of love we owe before God may be lived out among one another. That's why Paul sounds the alarm. He sounds the alarm to wake us up and to invite us to stay woke, brothers and sisters, because the hour is too urgent, the call is too holy, and the debt of love is too great for us to remain asleep. We again encounter the teaching of Paul to the Roman church. Paul is in this continual struggle to explain the importance of grace to those new to the Christian faith and living in Rome. But more specifically, Paul intends to unravel this massive importance of God's love regarding our relationship to God, regarding our relationship to the world in which we have been called as representatives of Christ, and especially regarding our relationship to one another. He makes the case that the love of God is not a reward for the worthy. It's not given because we earned it, deserved it, or finally got ourselves together. Paul has already said it plainly in Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And because Paul lives in expectant hope of Christ's return, Paul doesn't speak casually about these things, but he speaks with a holy urgency. He knows what time it is. Paul views time as both the present time, this time in which we live, and the eternal time, the time of Christ's return, when this old life will come to an end and we will finally be at home with the Lord. And he knows that we do this, what we do in this in-between time really matters. He suggests that the only thing we owe to anyone, should be the continual debt of love, because we have failed to love each other fully with the love of Christ. He suggested in this day we live, there are people who are still asleep, people still loving as if loving others as Christ loved others is something they can ignore, living how they choose to live now in relationships of intolerance and non-acceptance of each other while we wait for Christ to return. But Paul states emphatically that now is the time for us all to wake up. To wake up and stay woke to the presence of God's love already alive in us. To wake up to the presence of God's love as a correcting power in this world's current situation. And to wake up and stay woke to the reality of the evil days that we are engaged in. To wake up and stay woke to offer the world not bitterness and not pride, not indifference, but to offer the world God's love, pure and undefiled and unconditional. The church cannot afford to sleep through this hour that God has given us. We must wake up and stay woke to the love of God already alive in us. Wake up and stay woke to the love of God in all of the brokenness that's around us. Wake up and stay woke to the darkness that still exists in this world that resists the light of Christ and the love of Christ in the world. So Paul tells us we just can't wake up, but we need to put on Christ. In other words, we must be dressed in the spirit of Christ and living now as if the bridegroom has already arrived. We are living between Christ's first coming and Christ's promised return, and what we do in this in-between time matters. We can't wait until tomorrow to love. We can't wait until the world becomes easier to serve. We can't wait until people become more deserving of God's love. We must wake up and stay woke and put on Christ today, using the mercy of Christ's love alive in us to shape our words, letting His holiness guide our steps, and allowing His love working through us as an example of our witness to the love of God. Because we're not merely waiting for the future kingdom to come. We are called to live as witnesses that God's kingdom is already present right here and right now. We are the future of Christ living now. Not tomorrow, but today, right now. We represent the kingdom of God. For years, the Christian community has been living with the expected hope of Christ's return. Every time there's a significant world event, the alarm goes out saying that the end is near. The ongoing battle between Russia and Ukraine, the increased escalation in the Middle East, our country's unwarranted war with Iran, and have raised current ideas of Jesus' return. Recent earthquakes at an over 7.0 on the Richter scale, already in Colombia and Indonesia and Malaysia and Venezuela and Mexico and Tonga and the Philippines. All of those have people signaling the end of the world is near. The flooding in Nepal, in Utah, in Indiana, in New York, in Texas, and the recent flash flood in the Grand Canyon, as well as the cyclones flooding and hitting the island of Hawaii, have many people on high alert, saying Jesus is coming real soon. The Ebola outbreak in Central Africa and the rise of measles infections in this country now have people a little bit squeamish, saying that Jesus is on his way any day now. The ongoing cultural and political divisions have some people decrying what the extremist right call the woke culture, the culture that's supposed to be extreme left because they have moved to accept people who have been socially and culturally excluded from society. And yet it's the parables of Jesus and the scriptures from God's word that remind us of our current situation, because while we're anxious for Jesus' return, we're reminded that the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. And then Jesus says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. You haven't loved enough. You haven't had enough mercy. You haven't accepted other people as Christ has accepted you. See, brothers and sisters, in our culture, and yes, even in the world before Jesus, there were people who thought they were awake, but their eyes were wide shut. They were asleep. Asleep because they chose to live lives oblivious to God's grace. Asleep because they choose and chose to live outside of the limits of God's love. They were asleep believing that Christ's return was never going to happen, and we lived with the unfinished business of loving each other the way God has asked us to love. And maybe what we're experiencing in our lifetime is nothing more than a nudge, a not so gentle push to awaken us to the reality that God is real and that Jesus is not a joke, and to wake up and to stay woke. And maybe it's a reminder, as our scripture for today instructs us, that it's time for us to wake up and stay woke while we live, in order to pay off the continued debt of love to God's people. Being woke was originally a term which Black people used to describe their awareness of the realities that foster and support conversations about racism and gender inequality and LGBTQ plus people. Being woke encourages us also to be aware around phrases and concepts like systemic racism that are critical to explaining how discrimination is perpetuated and to understand the impact of inequality in everyday people's lives. In short, how we love one another and engage in vital and healthy dialogue to eliminate hatred and bigotry and discrimination is what it means to be woke. But being woke is also at the foundation and central to what it means to be a Christian. It's Jesus's offering of inclusion to the Samaritan woman at the well. It's Jesus extending the olive branch of peace to the woman with the issue of blood. Being woke is Jesus sacrificing his life so that all that believed in him would, by faith, be included in the family of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob by adoption. Being woke is Jesus spreading the love of God to all who, by faith, were willing to receive it, regardless of who they were or the nature of their separation from God. Being woke is accepting Thomas in his doubts about the resurrection. Being woke is acknowledging there are people whom the world has rejected, but whom God is willing to receive, even though they come just as they are. It's Jesus sitting down to eat with sinners and tax collectors, welcoming prostitutes as worthy enough to receive God's love. So being awake and staying woke is in many ways the most Christ-like thing we can do. You see, brothers and sisters, the only thing we owe anyone is the debt of love. I know that it's easy for people to find something wrong with anyone that makes them acceptable, unacceptable. We as God's people, and even before we were God's people, had no problem seeing the splinter in our brother or sister's eye when we couldn't see the 2x4 that was sticking out of our arm. We have an excellent record of finding fault with others, but our history of self-examination is woefully lacking. But the debt of love that we've incurred is because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We owe this continual debt of love because the God we serve looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. We owe this debt of love because Jesus paid it all. We owe this continuing debt of love because just as we've received the love of God freely and without condition, we are asked to give it freely to all who are in need. They probably don't deserve it, but neither did we. They probably haven't earned it, but neither have we. They probably, but for the grace of God, aren't worthy, but neither are we. Only our responsibility is to fulfill the law by loving our neighbors as ourselves. Our neighbors never stop coming, and neither should our love. When we are not considered neighbors as Gentiles, Jesus saw us as a neighbor and loved us without condition. When we do the same, we are paying our continuing debt of love, not just to our neighbors, but to the very God who saved us. It's the only debt we owe to anyone in Christ's name. And that's why being woke is the kind of love Christ calls us to both be and do. Being woke is to model Jesus in his acceptance of others just as he accepted us. Being woke exemplifies what it is to be like Jesus. It models acceptance of those deemed unacceptable by society. It welcomes those who have found life and people unwelcoming. It says, if we err, then let us err on the side of love. If we're wrong, then let us be wrong on the side of grace. It says, if we perish, then let us perish for righteousness' sake. It says that if we're going to trust in any philosophy, any ideology, any spirituality, we'd be better off trusting in the Lord and His righteousness. Being woke is what got Jesus in trouble. Who was Jesus to go around forgiving people and then telling us that we could do the same? Who was Jesus to go around including outsiders and then telling us to do the same thing under the idea of loving our neighbors? Who was Jesus to go around eating and drinking with sinners and tax collectors, offering the kingdom of God to thieves and prostitutes, and then telling those who didn't approve of what he was doing to go kick rocks? Who was Jesus to give us a new commandment, telling us to love one another as he loved us? That's unheard of. The world tells us to hate our enemies, and Jesus says, love them. Jesus says, wake up! And if Jesus says, wake up, then we better wake up and stay woke. You see, brothers and sisters, we live in hope that we will soon wake up living in a world filled with the love of God. That's our hope. Not the carnal, selfish, self-indulgent kind of lust masquerading as love, a love that leaves lives battered and bruised from emotional or sexual abuse, but the kind of love that lifts people up and gives their lives value, the kind of love that acknowledges their gifts of service to God and the community as servants of Christ. And not the kind of love that leads people into lives of self-abuse and selfishness, but the kind of love that encourages people to respect themselves, honoring their bodies in as much as they are the temple of God living within them, and respecting others as children of God and King, sharing unselfishly with those who have not recognized that our God is generous and a loving God. But we have work to do. That's what the Heisman brothers said. We've got work to do. And our work is pushing back against those who say staying woke is wrong. We have work to do pushing back and staying woke against those who believe that being woke is too weak, that being woke is too loving. It's pushing back and staying woke against those who believe that being woke is evil. It's pushing back against those who believe that being woke is too open and accepting. It's pushing back against those who believe that being woke goes against everything that God calls holy. We push back by showing that love is the strongest power on this earth. We push back by clothing ourselves in Christ. We push back by paying our debt of continuing love, by showing the world that the kingdom of God's love is not a community of exclusion, but it's a community where, and I quote scripture, where there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. How strong is the power of love when it can disregard your gender? How long and how strong is the power of God when it can remove all traces of division and separation between us as races and people? You see, brothers, we push back on those who haven't heard Jesus's command to keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. You see, brothers and sisters, we push back in order to fulfill the law to love our neighbors as ourselves, to show our neighbors the same mercy we've received in Jesus Christ, to show them the compassion of Christ, the understanding of Christ, the mercy of Christ, the acceptance of Christ, and to show them, as Christ has showed us, that loving people also requires holding each other accountable for the sins we commit against each other. Most people don't want to go there. But that's why Jesus guided our process of reconciliation, telling us that if a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him or her. Work it out between the two of you. If he or she listens, you've made a friend. If he or she won't listen, then take one or two others along with you so that the presence of witnesses, people will keep things honest and try again. And if they still won't listen, tell the church. If he or she won't listen to the church, you'll have to start all over again from scratch. Confront him or her with the need for repentance and offer again God's forgiving love, that debt of continuing love. That's from Eugene Peterson's The Message, Matthew 18, 15 through 17. That's what it means to hold each other accountable in love. Being woke means that love becomes a prevailing method of encountering our world and those within it. It's not a license to do whatever we want, but a license to love one another with the love of Christ. It's a love that's inclusive of everyone and not restrictive to anyone who chooses to live within a spiritually loving relationship with others, respecting each other in the fulfillment of the law. And that's foundational to our first waking up and then staying woke, not for our benefit, but to the glory and praise of God. So if you're still asleep, me, Christ, Paul, Peter, others, and the God we serve implore us to wake up and stay woke. We have a continuing debt of love that we owe because our God loved us so. And the only way we can repay it is by waking up and staying woke. It models Jesus's life of self-sacrifice and loving others unconditionally so that God's message of reconciliation might benefit God's mission that no one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If we're still asleep, we should wake up and stay woke, remembering how Christ said that all who aren't for him are against him. We should all wake up and stay woke so that the kingdom of God and our Christ might be a present day reality in the lives of some and not just a future hope that people look to. If we wake up and stay woke, people can experience just a little bit of heaven today. We have the power to let others sample the kingdom of God just a little bit today, through our payment of continual love in Christ's name. But only if we wake up and stay woke. And that's the word of God today for the people of God today.